who should get tested for the coronavirus.
As cases have surged and demand for testing has surged, there have been more choke points, and increasingly public health officials are shifting back to trying to prioritize people to get tested and not saying that everybody should get tested on demand.
More on the latest recommendations. Plus, we'll check in on quarterly earnings reports, and San Diego's annual comics convention goes virtual. It's Thursday, July 23rd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. New weekly unemployment claims have risen for the first time in nearly 4 months. 1.4 million Americans filed initial jobless claims last week, as some states started rolling back reopening plans in response to a surge in coronavirus cases. Weekly unemployment numbers had been declining steadily since hitting a high of 6.9 million in March. Negotiations on a new round of federal stimulus continue in Washington. Senate Republicans are finalizing a proposal that's expected to extend enhanced jobless benefits and provide another round of direct payments to American households. The GOP bill won't include the payroll tax cut sought by the president. We're in the midst of earnings season, and with a look at the latest, here's Deputy Business Editor George Stahl.
The woes of the travel and tourism industry are well documented and understandable in this environment. But it is still shocking to see year-over-year revenue fall 87% at United Airlines or 97% at casino operator Las Vegas Sands. Meanwhile, other companies are reporting benefits from people staying at home. Chipotle said its online sales have more than tripled since the pandemic hit. Meanwhile, consumer products company Unilever said the part of its business that makes cleaning sprays and hand soap jumped 26% in the second quarter, which included a more than 20,000% jump in hand sanitizer sales.
More trouble for retailers. The parent company of Ann Taylor and Lane Bryant filed for bankruptcy today. The company, Ascena Retail Group, plans to close 1,100 stores and reduce its debt by about $1 billion. It's the latest in a string of bankruptcy filings from retailers during the pandemic, including Brooks Brothers, JCPenney, Neiman Marcus, and J. Crew. And amid heightened tensions between the U.S. and China, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is expected to urge the people of China to alter the direction of its ruling Communist Party. That's according to a draft of the speech he's expected to deliver later today. For our full coverage, check back on WSJ.com or the WSJ app. Coming up after the break, the latest recommendations on when and whether to get tested for the coronavirus. The number of confirmed coronavirus cases in the U.S. surpassed 4 million today, according to Johns Hopkins University. That comes just 2 weeks after the U.S. passed 3 million confirmed cases. With the number of infections continuing to surge, some areas are facing testing supply shortages and delays in getting back the results. That's leading some health experts to change their recommendations on who should get tested. Joining me now with the latest information is our health and science coverage chief, Stephanie Ilgenfritz. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
So a lot of questions have been swirling about testing, and part of the confusion seems to be that the message has been changing throughout the course of the pandemic, right?
Yes. You know, early on when capacity was really limited, they were really only focusing on testing people who had symptoms. And then as capacity expanded, the message was we need to test more because that way you will get more of the asymptomatic people and you'll have a better sense of the true infection rate. But more recently, as cases have surged and demand for testing has surged, there have been more choke points, and increasingly public health officials are shifting back to trying to prioritize people to get tested and not saying that everybody should get tested on demand.
So what is the exact messaging now around who should get a test and who should hold off, who shouldn't get a test right now?
Yeah, it's a good question. So it's clear that if you have symptoms, you should get tested. That's probably the clearest message. And if you do not have symptoms, but you believe you may have been exposed to the virus, you should consider getting tested. But you might not want to get tested right away because you might not have enough virus in your system, even if you did contract the virus. If you are traveling somewhere or you're going to be meeting with somebody or visiting somebody that may be vulnerable, you may want to consider consider getting tested, but then you need to consider the circumstances in your area. If demand is very, very high and there are long wait times, it might not be very effective to get tested. But if there's capacity and you want some reassurance before, say, you go and visit an elderly relative, then it may be worth doing.
Now, we've heard from experts that expanding testing is key to containing the spread of the virus, because once we know who is infected, we're then better able to do contact tracing to track them. How have strains on testing capacity been impacting efforts to control the overall spread?
Yeah, that really is one of the key impacts of the delays that we've seen. People are sometimes waiting 10 days, 2 weeks, more even, to get the results. And in the meantime, that's a lost opportunity to identify people who may be spreading it and to ask them to self-isolate. So the lack of ability to do contact tracing in the interim is the biggest impact of these delays.
Right. And I can also imagine situations where someone could go in to get a test, and if they're not getting results until 7 days, 10 days later, the results may have changed.
That is true. So there are a couple things you should think about if you're waiting, while you are waiting for your results. If it takes a long time, yes, you could actually get infected. And by the time you get a negative result, you may actually be positive and not know it because you got infected in the meantime. So the answer there really is, while you are waiting for the test, if you are concerned that you are infected, quarantine yourself. Stay away from others, social distancing, wearing masks if you must go out. Just be extra cautious while you wait for those results.
What about some of the questions we've talked about in the past over accuracy? There are still cases we're hearing about where people can get false negative results and may in fact have the virus.
Yeah, the diagnostic tests are fairly accurate. A key reason you might get a false negative is if you got tested too soon. It takes a while to develop enough viral load in your system for it to be detected by the test. So if you get tested too soon after exposure, you may get a false negative.
And Stephanie, finally, what are the recommendations on who should get a coronavirus test versus who should get an antibody test? Should someone who suspects they may have had the virus or currently have the virus get both?
Yeah, there are a lot of questions about the antibody tests and how useful they are. So they are more useful on a sort of population-wide basis. If you look at across many, many tests, you can get a sense of the prevalence of the virus and how many people in a community, for instance, have been infected by looking at that data writ large. For an individual, an antibody test has kind of limited utility, honestly. If you are found to have antibodies, it indicates that you did have the disease at one point, but it doesn't tell you much about whether you are still infectious or how long you might still be infectious or whether you are safe to go out and can no longer get the disease. We don't know how long immunity lasts or how effective it is.
So still a lot of questions to be explored. Wall Street Journal Health and Science Coverage Chief Stephanie Ilgenfritz. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, San Diego's Comic-Con, a convention that's grown from celebrating comic book culture to broader pop culture, normally attracts over 100,000 attendees. Among them are many diehard fans who dress up as their favorite characters from comics, TV shows, and movies, like Game of Thrones and Star Wars, in what's known as cosplay. Due to the pandemic, the convention is going virtual this year, but Wall Street Journal contributor Chris Cornelis says that's not stopping the cosplayers.
A lot of people are still creating new cosplays and they're participating in an online competition, but they're also just sharing it on social media. Somebody that I talked to said, hey, I'm not going to be there, but I'm still going to make a cosplay and my roommate's going to see it. I can share it on social media. And it's nice to have something frivolous and fun to be working on at this time.
One of the added benefits of the virtual convention, if you wanted to attend in person, tickets used to set you back around $50. This year, you can log on for free from the comfort of your own couch. And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.